Well, our first scripture reading comes from Psalm 121, and the psalmist's words this morning assure us of God's protection throughout our entire life. Let us listen to God's word together. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The word of our Lord, and thanks be to God. Well, as we continue our Lenten series, this is the second Sunday of Lent. We continue to focus on the theme of the gospel according to Mr. Rogers. And today we look at the story of the prodigal son, written by the gospel writer Luke in chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Now in this passage, the Pharisees and scribes continue to complain about Jesus and the things that he is teaching the people around him, especially the things that he's teaching the sinners and the tax collectors who continue to kind of hang out with him and hear what Jesus is saying about how they are loved, even despite their sin and their actions. So the Pharisees and scribes are grumbling, and Jesus is sharing a story with them. Now, if I were to guess, most of you know the prodigal son story. It's a very familiar story from the Bible. Since we were little children, most of us have heard that story, whether it's been in a worship service or Sunday school, maybe before an altar call at home when we were little, hearing the story from our parents, as we got older, reading that story to our children. But we have heard that prodigal story over and over again. The younger son knows it all, or at least thinks he knows it all. He sets out into the world, lives foolishly, and then returns home to ask for forgiveness. And then the wayward child returns home where he should have stayed. Perhaps you have heard this story and thought of your own wayward child, the one who just doesn't quite succeed at following the rules, the child you have worried about. Maybe it's a child that you have stayed up till the crack of dawn waiting for them to come home. The child that you have prayed over and over again to know Jesus personally in a way that transforms their life. If it hasn't been a child, maybe it's been a family member or a friend or even yourself. Whoever it is that you worry about, the prodigal son story resonates with us all and reminds us to return to the Lord seeking forgiveness. But listen to the story in a new way as I read it. And to be able to read this story or share this story with you, I need three people to help me. There's no acting involved. It's just a matter of standing up here for a period of time. Just three people. Come on. It's an interactive sermon. Need three people to just come up. Thank you. Thank you, Cole. Yeah, just over here. Okay. Thank you, Pat. All right, Cole, I'm gonna put you up here. Oh, wait, and you're gonna be down here. And Pat, you're gonna be right here. Yeah, you can't hide. Yeah. I'm gonna have you step up on the other step. No, sorry. So you're forming a triangle. That's easier. There we go. Okay. All right, so you're just gonna stand there for a minute. So, all right. So just stand there, I'll tell you what to do. So just if you're good at following directions, I guess we'll find out. So this red ribbon, anybody want to take some bets on that one? This red ribbon is going to represent the connection that the three of them have. Obviously, the three of them are identifying the three in the story, which would be the father. I'll have you hold that and hold it in both your hands. Yeah. Okay. All right. And we have the older brother, And Pat, we're going to make you the younger son, the prodigal son. And you're going to hold that, and it's going to come, sorry, it's, or hold the ribbon. Yeah, with the other hand. There we go. And then you're going to hold, let me cut that. I'll come up over here. Yeah, so you're going to hold both pieces. All right. So the red ribbon is going to represent the connection that they have as a family and as father and sons. The love between any family is really incredible. It's precious and beautiful. And since the day that the sons were born, their father has loved them graciously and generously. They are heirs to all that their father has acquired through his life. So let us listen to the story told by Jesus to the Pharisees, scribes, and those gathered around him. As Jesus tells it, a prosperous landowner has two sons. The younger son cannot wait until his father dies so that he can collect the inheritance. And he can't wait, so he asks for it now. So the father divides his property between two sons, and the younger son gathers all he has and leaves to explore the world. The older son stays with the father as he always has done. All right. The younger son is going to drop the ribbons and head over there because the younger son has taken his inheritance and is off to explore the world. Now we can see that the end of the ribbons are quite ragged. They're raw and there are now loose ends that the father and older brother are holding. The younger brother is left with a loose end as well. Oops. We're doing this without any rehearsing. We're doing pretty good. All right, so the younger son is also left with a loose end, but is too busy having run away to realize it. And so the younger son goes off and immediately squanders the inheritance he received from his father. He partied too hard and spent all of his money as fast as he had received it. Suddenly, a horrible famine occurred throughout the country, and the younger brother was desperate in need, so desperate that he hired himself out to one of the owners of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. Now, as a side note to the story, the very fact that this younger son is feeding pigs implies that he was very far from home. Moses was clear that swine was not kosher. So no good Palestinian Jew would be caught dead near pigs. This is how far this guy is from home. Quickly, the younger son comes to his senses and realizes that home is a much better place to be than in a field of pigs. Practicing how he will ask for forgiveness, the younger son heads back to his father's house. So heads back. And before the younger brother can ask for his father's forgiveness, the father runs to meet him. You can just pat her on the back, you know. All right. Look at the frayed edges again. They're not clean cuts, a little bit, but they're frayed. What would it take for them to be joined together? The ribbon looks like it will never be whole again because the ends are too frayed. The father's love and bounty, though, have the power to reunite the frayed edges of their relationship, and it is more beautiful than before. The father and son are closer than they have ever been. And so, you guys reunited. I'm going to see if I can. We'll call that a pretty bow, right? Okay. So now the son knows the difference between being his father's servant and being his father's child. Now, if the story ended at the prodigal son return, we would likely be satisfied. Who doesn't like a happy ending, right? They've been reunited. They love each other even more. Father and son are reunited, and everyone goes home to celebrate. It's the kind of ending, an ending with a party, that sounds really good to us. But the only problem with this ending is that we forget another part of the story, and it's the story of the older brother. Now, some of you may relate to the younger brother and his choices, but most of you relate best to the older brother. Why? Because what we know about the older brother is that he is responsible, has behaved well, and has cautiously kept his inheritance secure while his brother has sinned boldly and enjoyed it. Seems to be that big brother has every right to at least be a little resentful. How infuriating is it for any of us to always be following the rules, working hard, and being obedient to the father, to then watch a prodigal child return with such grace, love, and acceptance. When the younger son returns home, the older son is out in the fields. The ribbon between him and his brother has been cut and is still in tatters. And when he refuses to come in, he is cutting himself off from both. I'm going to send you over there with yours. Now it's the older one who is out on his own. No wonder the older brother is mad and refuses to set one foot in that big, rowdy, extravagant party. Where's his party? Where's his reward for obedient behavior? And that's what shocks us the most about this story. It's that there is such extravagance of love. We aren't surprised that the father welcomes his son home, but we can't believe how he is welcomed home so graciously, so richly. Where is the same love and grace offered to the older son? This is where Jesus ends the story so that we can decide how to finish it. Some people's stories end like this, still with loose ends, with ragged edges. But we can't believe that Jesus' story ends this way. Why? Because we haven't heard the father's story. We know this father, at the first sight of his younger son, ran towards him filled with compassion and put his arms around his son and kissed him. He welcomed his prodigal son home by throwing a party, killing a fatted calf, and putting a ring on his finger, signifying his place in the household as his heir and not as his servant. But what of the father's love for the older son? Well, that love has always been constantly present. When the oldest son complains about his brother's welcome, the father does not berate him or tell him to stop complaining. Instead, he shifts his attention away from both of his sons. He turns his attention on his own love and bounty. There is plenty to go around, he says, in so many words. It's as if he says to the older brother, this is not your younger brother's party, so much as it is my party, the party I throw for many. For I am on the lookout for all of my loved ones, near and far, and I welcome them all with open arms. All that is mine is yours. I'm going to bring you back. You want to tie a knot? I can do that. All right. I'm going to tie a knot right here. I'm going to let you do it. Forgiveness between the father and between the brothers requires each of them to step towards each other. Forgiveness allows the tattered edges of broken relationships to be mended, looking more beautiful than when they started. You guys can have a seat. Thank you for... Every time God's active, stretching, searching, healing love finds someone and calls that person back home, it does not mean that there is less for the rest of us. It means that there is more. There's more feasting, more music, more dancing, more love. And whether you identify with the younger son or the older son, or maybe even the Father, the eternal promise is that there is enough of God's grace for us all. This story is about God and God's life-giving love and mercy. This Lenten season, we are talking about feelings and relationships and forgiveness and reconciliation. And forgiveness requires a response on our part, whether we are asking for it or offering it. So today I'm going to close the sermon by inviting your response. I'm passing out to you two colored ribbons. One is white and one is red. And I'm just going to ask some folks near the front to help get these passed out. I want you to take one of each color. Take a red and a white. And just hold those two ribbons in your hand. Today they're going to be our reminder that we all have loose ends and that forgiveness isn't easy. It's difficult at times to think about those loose ends in our lives, but the good news of this story is that we can trust God to help us hold the ragged ends and find ways of mending things in ourselves and between ourselves and others. For a moment, I'm going to invite you to hold those ribbons and invite you into a moment of silence as we hold before God the things that are unresolved in our lives. Take this moment to name silently the people that maybe you need to reconcile with, the awkward relationships that you might have with someone, the people who, for whatever reason, you can't reconcile with, trusting God to hold their loose ends as well.